Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's a job.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all.
What's up, Feasters? What's up, Feasters?
Oh, no!
Another two.
Good day, man.
No, Crab Feast that. Like, oh, yeah. Man, that high wavering pitch touch up top. I didn't know we were going to hit it. I wasn't expecting to hit it all the way up there. Good to touch your
good
high
to touch
pitch.
Your pitch, Sickle Cell. Feast of Nation, there was a poker game at the Crab Feast Studios last night, and Ryan Sickler had a heavy morning today.
A little bit.
Jay Larson Comedy over here, jlarsoncomedy.com. Great to be here with you, as always, Ryan. Always great to be here. Get that nice tea, unsweetened iced tea,
nice tea, but.
You know where to find me. I got one date I'd like to promote, and that is going to be February 22nd. I will be in Portland, Oregon, doing the Live Wire public radio variety show. It's taped there, and then it's on radios across the country. It's a great show. I'm excited to be up there and doing it. So that's going to be February 22nd at 7:30 p.m. If you're in the Portland area, I'm pretty sure there's a way to get tickets. They haven't given me that information. So that's it. And then out there in April, I'll be at Laugh Boston in Boston. That's a ways off, but go to the site and grab some ticks. Sickle Sal.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. I will have some local shows here for the next couple weeks. I'm actually working on a project that I'm very excited
he's
to be working
it
local,
on. Man.
I'm not allowed to say, but I will
grounded.
Be saying it when I'm allowed to say.
He's like, grounded, man. No flights.
Crabfeast.com for any and all Crab Feast related information. You know, we're going to have some new merch coming here. We are working on a lot of things right now to get going for 2018, and the ball is rolling. So we're very excited. We're going to come out and see you guys again this year. Make sure you get your merch. We've been releasing the premium app, so I guess I don't need to tell you to buy those anymore. They're coming. I don't know if they're all coming. We'll let you know eventually.
We'll let you know. But we got some plans of things, but we want to keep getting that extra episode in a week to see, you know, so you could just keep stay tuned.
And a lot of you keep saying you guys need to get on Patreon. That is actually something we're going to be working on as well.
So stop putting your pennies in your penny bank.
Yeah, we'll be having a lot of
we got some fun things. Rye's got some things up his sleeves, guys.
And I have two sleeves, y'all. Make sure you follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter. You'll get all your information about the stuff we're doing over there. And if you're out there trying online dating, chances are you've run into lazy text messages, dead-end conversations, and random matches that don't turn into dates. Haven't we all? You can't get to know someone just by looking at their picture. That's why the sponsor this week, eHarmony, y'all. eHarmony's here. They're great to work with. They're unlike many other online dating sites. eHarmony takes steps that other dating sites don't in order to find you a more compatible match. They're built to help you find lasting, meaningful relationships, not a shallow hookup site. They have helped over a million people find their perfect match. I have three really good friends who've met on eHarmony. They've married. They're still all very happy together. So happy
together.
There you go, Jay. eHarmony uses years and years of science, data, and psychological research to send you the right matches. eHarmony brings compatible people together. There are plenty of hookup sites out there. That is not what they are. Right now, our listeners can get a free month with eHarmony when you sign up for a 3-month subscription. Enter our code CRAB at checkout. Stop waiting and start your journey to a satisfying, meaningful relationship. It can be fun to play around with online dating apps, but when you're ready to fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship, there's one app that's built to bring you real love, eHarmony. Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com and get started. Enter our code CRAB at checkout.
ZipRecruiter. Here's the deal, guys.
ZipRecruiter?
ZipRecruiter, man. I got a cleft palate. here's the deal, guys. There are so many businesses out there right now and things you can use to make your life easier. And there isn't one I've seen that we've worked with, like ZipRecruiter, to make it easier for you. If you're hiring, or, I mean, do you even know where to post a job for the best candidates? You know what I mean? Like, where are you going to go? It's hard to find good people out there. You have no idea what's going on out there, especially if it's one more task that you have to handle as a business owner. Why not get ZipRecruiter to handle it all? They post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invite them to apply. They even review every application to identify the top candidates so you never miss a great match. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. Bottom line is, if you're looking for a candidate, you want people that are going to work in order to work for you. That's what ZipRecruiter is doing right there. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And that's got to add relief to the anxiety of trying to find a new worker. They do it all for you. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/crab. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab. One more time, for free. ZipRecruiter.com/crab. The only thing you need to check out right now are your two ears, because we're excited about this week's episode. Whee! And wanted to have her on for a while. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome for the first time on the Crab Feast
to episode guest number 300.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deborah DiGiovanni! Welcome to the Crab Feast. Try and say it fast.
You can't.
Try and say it at all, Jay.
Deborah DiGiovanni.
DiGiovanni. Deborah DiGiovanni. Yeah.
Welcome to the Crab Feast, young lady.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
No crabs at all. I'm disappointed.
No.
Yeah. Right, that's fine.
But it is a feast.
It is a feast.
Of words.
Yeah, it's a feast of words in
of joy.
Particular order.
All right, good deal.
How are you today?
I'm all right. Thank you very much.
All right, well, before we get started, as always, we like to have you promote, plug, whatever you'd like up top. I'll walk you through it. Your social media.
Yes.
You tour a lot, right?
I do tour a lot. I'm lucky. Social media, Deborah DiGiovanni on Twitter. I never thought to shorten my name because I'm an idiot. On
how
Instagram,
how
Deborah
many,
DG.
How many is that total?
Of what?
My characters, all the way
oh, God. Five plus count quickly. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. So,
16? Too many. It's half of what you're allowed.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
What are you going to be?
Yeah.
You could be Debbie D.
I could be Debbie D.
Debbie D!
Yeah. I go Deborah DG a lot. That's what I have a tendency to kind of plug in.
So that's where they can find you on Twitter, your website?
Yeah, same thing, Deborah DG.
And are your touring dates there?
Yep. Yeah, right. Next week, where am I going? I'm going to Spokane.
We have great fans
sure.
in Washington.
Go check.
We do.
Good, go check it.
Well, this is what I wanted to say. So, you're not a storyteller on stage.
Not really, no.
No.
Yeah.
There are certain comics. I saw you in the lab, and I was just like, holy shit, dude.
We had a good night that night. That
no,
was a fun show.
There were like a couple nights like within 2 weeks, and I'm like, Jesus, does she just fucking murder? And
murder.
It wasn't, it wasn't like everyone
too.
Was murdering. People were not having good sets in that lab, and you come in and just like Tommy gun the room,
oh,
and I was just
geez.
Like, I just knew. I'm like, even if she doesn't have a story in her entire body, we'll have a lot of fun.
We'll find something. We'll get it out of her.
If you can see her live, go see her live, because it's probably going to be better than this episode.
Yay! It's a lot of fun. Very sweaty, but whatever. We don't have
no,
to.
No, but
hug.
You fucking...
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You have a lot of levels.
Thank you.
You do. Your energy is through the roof.
I enjoy myself.
Yeah, you
That's
do.
That's the thing. Yep.
You're a positive person, do you think?
I'm not... Not
it's
totally, but it's all fake. This is crying inside. I'm one of those. No. I'm pretty positive. I like my life. I enjoy my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pretty lucky. I feel grateful to do what I get to do.
Are you like one of those comics too? Like if you could get up eight times a night, you would get
no,
up
no,
eight
no,
times.
No. Not anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm an old woman. I've been doing this a long time. And
Liz
I like
Canada.
I like. I know. Right.
Little That's Ian Bagg, right there.
There.
A long time.
Yes, Ian Bagg. Oh, fabulous. I like two sets a night. But I'd honestly, if a choice, I would just do one show every night.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, sometimes like,
yeah,
they'll be like, no, I like 20. I think 20
is a sweet spot, man.
Right? But I like this, though. I like this 10-minute stuff. I love that quite a bit. But 20 is perfect. It's
the feature was always the good spot, too.
It's the best.
Back in the day, you would get 30 before they started shortening everything. You get 25 to 30.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to be there right when the show started. Good. You could bounce right when you fucking
that's
were done good. If you felt like
it. Oh, I know.
Like
that's
it.
Beautiful.
It was great. That was the sweet
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, the headliners. I was like,
you're like, yeah, man, have a great set. I got to actually get home. I want to beat traffic out of Irvine.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd stick around, but
I should be home right before you wrap up.
Yeah, yeah. But then I always find it like young comics are like those weirdos that are always like, I'll do, how much time do you want me to do? I'll do more. I'm like, really? I don't want to do an hour. Seriously.
No.
I don't want to do an hour.
When I go
ever.
On the road, they're like, so, you know, how much time do you want to do? And you're like, well, what do you guys? Yeah. I go, I like to do 45.
Me too. That's exactly
45, maybe 50. Yeah. And they go, oh, I'm just asking because last week so-and-so was here and they did an hour 30. And like, I go, I would put everybody in overtime.
I would never do that.
I'm not wasting anyone's time.
Me neither.
How much do I, what's my contract say?
Yes.
45?
Exactly.
Light me at 40. That's, I'll be done by 46.
And it might be 43.50. I'm not going to lie. It depends how much fun we're having.
I'll give you 2 minutes.
The next time. That's exactly it. I don't think I'm never one of those comics that goes over the light. Like,
Where'd you start comedy?
Toronto. Yeah.
So you're born and raised Toronto?
No, I was born in Quebec. And then my family are all, you know, my dad, Italian, French. There we go. Last.
So your dad's Italian?
Yeah.
Was he like off the boat Italian?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. He was the first one in his whole family to speak English. Like that was his whole family to speak English.
Really? Wow. But he has an accent?
Yeah. No, not anymore. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's long gone. I also think it's because they did move to Canada when he was quite young. And then he spent most of his life in Montreal. So
he speaks French, English, too. Italian,
yeah, English,
and French.
Yeah, I know. And then the rest of my family only speaks English. Like, ugh, what savages. Seriously.
French and Italian are kind of the same.
How's he keep up with it?
People like, hey, man, I speak Spanish and Portuguese. And like, get the fuck out of here. There's like three words that are tough.
Please. But yeah. But then he married my mom is, you know, a British descent. So that's why none of us speak Italian.
I see.
It's a shame. But anyway. But yeah, then there. And then we moved to a little town called Tilsimurg. And then I moved.
Why did that little dump town?
I don't know.
I'm not saying that. I don't know anything about it, but I get the vibe.
It is. I don't know why. It's one of those, like, we were like, what? What? I don't know.
What did your dad do?
My dad was a chartered accountant, and, like, he did own an accounting firm in Tilsimburg.
What does chartered mean?
I have no idea. It's a CA. I don't know, but it's chartered accountant. I don't know. Yeah, apparently it's better than regular accountants.
You know, right now there's like four people listening that we've never brought up accounting, and they're so mad right now. Like, God damn it. Charter beans.
They know everything about this other bullshit.
You can travel with it. You can take it anywhere you want.
My dad's a smart dude. He's like, oh, like he's a mathematician.
And Italian.
Like, yeah, and Italian. Odd. God bless. But yeah. So I think that's what it is. I think like just a gig came up. I'm pretty sure accountants don't call it a gig.
To leave your own country.
Yeah.
To come here to learn a new language and a currency to where you can be an accountant.
First of all, he didn't leave Italy, dude. He came over
was
here
he
when
born
he was
here?
A kid.
Yeah.
Where was he born?
In, what is it? I want to say, it's called Abruzzi. Yeah, Abruzzi.
Right. That's where my grandmother's family's from.
Really?
I promise you, Abruzzi.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What's your dad's name?
Giuseppe.
Shut up! You're not going to believe it, right?
Giuseppe!
In here, man.
I'm surprised, dude.
But no, his name is Giuseppe Andreo Di Gaetano Di Giovanni, but they would call him Joe Di Giovanni.
You know what his Twitter handle is? Yeah. Good Lord.
He's Joe D.
He can't tweet.
He was smart with it.
That's it. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he learned a currency.
Yeah.
Everything's different, man.
Dude,
super impressive.
How old was he when he came over?
Little.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So what? He still had to make the trip.
Yeah.
What I'm saying was, you make it sound like he defected from Italy.
Defected? I didn't say anything about defection.
Mussolini was holding him down. He's like, fuck this, I'm out.
At the bottom of a boat. Yes, exactly. That's my dad.
Yeah.
Is he a good cook?
No, he doesn't cook. It was my mom. Although my mom, you know, nailed it. I think he said it took 25 years.
Yeah.
But then she got it. You know, good meatballs. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Not like my mom's, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you, ain't nobody touching Sue Larson's meatball.
Yeah?
My mom likes to do
it. Especially if you're smart.
Rare in the middle.
Oh, yeah. But you cook them in the sauce, so like they'll end.
No.
I don't know if you'd say cook.
See that?
I don't know if you'd say cook. She puts them in the sauce.
Dipped them. I'd say she dipped them.
And then you always know that, like, you know you're dealing with a proper time when, like, you don't eat the sauce the day up, right? Like, you always put it in the garage and let it gain power, as my mother would say.
Oh, really?
And then we would, like, if my mom was making sauce, we know we were eating it the next day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And it did gain power. Ooh, yeah. Good stuff.
So I love that your dad was like, she still doesn't have it right, but I'm not stepping in. She'll figure it out.
I'm not going to help at all, but yeah.
Let me get to my ledger. Honey, work on that.
Yes. Good deal.
So what was it like growing up in, as a kid? You have this story here about, I mean,
one of your first jobs.
Yes,
it was a first job.
It was okay. It was, you know, it was a small town, and also I have a twin sister, so that
I'm a twin also.
Stop it!
Come on.
Are you fraternal or identical?
I'm fraternal.
So are we.
Mm-hmm. How many minutes?
Eight.
Four.
Are you older?
I like to say I was conceived first, delivered second.
Oh yeah.
But on paper,
we know
on
that.
Paper,
on paper,
I'm younger.
Yeah, but she. It was really weird though, because she's 8 minutes older. But I was always sort of in charge. That's what it was. I was the protector.
Were you guys super tight?
We were growing up, absolutely.
And but then what happened?
Well, then, you know,
what
happened,
though? Let's get to it.
Okay.
What's her name again?
Are we going to cry? Joanne.
That's, you know what? We knew that there was something. Yeah.
Joanne!
Time to air it out.
Bring Giuseppe's meatball.
This is it. But if you really think about it, her name is Giovanna Di Giovanni. So, like, come on, get out of town. That's terrible. Anyway. she was just, you know, I think when we graduated high school, we were both like, bye. You know
See
what I mean?
Yeah.
Small town. Like, we shared a bedroom until we were 19. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was just like,
Ryan
needs
his brother needs a lot of space.
Oh, God. Yeah. But anyway. But yeah, I grew up in this little small town. I was desperate to get out of it. It was really small. And we were like the most ethnic family there. And like, seriously, that's how small it was. Yeah. Like, Italian was like, oh my gosh, we were, you know, we were POC in Tilsonburg. Like, we really were. So. Yeah, but it was a farming town. Like, it was tobacco. It was known for growing tobacco.
That's great. And then you started working.
I did. The first year, everyone worked in harvest. Like, that was just your job. They paid you a ton of money.
So did you work for a farm or a farmer?
You worked for a family, okay. Right? And, you know, I think the first year I did it, I was 10, which, like, can't be legal, right? Yeah. Like, there's
it's
no
not
way.
Legal. It I mean, especially in Canada.
Yeah. There's no way.
They're like, you know, we'll pay for it.
But we did, yeah. That was the,
how
the
many
first
is
year.
We? How many people? Like,
oh gosh, it would be like a whole team of people. Like, you had the primers that actually picked it, and then usually the girl job was working on the table and basically
sorting.
Yeah, you're sorting.
I've seen those photos from like the '50s.
That's
where the women
pretty
are
much
just...
it. That's pretty much.
Are you
what
serious?
We did. Yeah, and it was also called fluffing, which is yuck. We know, but we got the jokes. But yeah, it was that was it, and we took the tobacco and then put
so
it on,
they
the,
would,
on the racks.
So
and then
walk
they would
us
hang
through,
it.
Walk us through the process. You would start
super early in the morning, and like I think like we had to be in the fields usually by 5.
God, it's
you know
10,
saying?
Bro.
Yeah.
Hey, 10. You know this shit that's gonna give people cancer. Put the 10-year-olds on the table.
Let me say,
it
is one of those things where it's just like, oh, we had no idea. Like, there's honestly, I remember times of like, you know, seeing the farmer on a tractor wearing a gas mask spraying pesticides. Yeah. And he would just say, keep working, kids. And we're like, what? And like just a
putting
foam.
Cancer on this cancer. That's all.
It was like.
And you're in the field.
Oh yeah.
No mask. Yeah.
Well, sometimes there was two different kinds of farms. Like there was farms. Like the first time I worked, the very old fashioned farms is when we literally had to. The tobacco would come to us on the table. Separate, like we were out near the house, and the boys would be in the field, and they'd bring us the tobacco, and then we would literally have to sew the tobacco onto the racks. Like it was like, yeah, that was the old fashioned stuff. And then later, I got to a good farm, a good family that owned most of the tobacco in the tobacco farms in Tilsonburg, and then it was all automatic.
They saw
and then
your prowess,
well,
huh?
They heard about me. And they're like, this one you should see. And then we got to work on the priming machine. So then it was just one big moving unit.
11-year-old over here is a master seamstress.
This is. The boys talk. They talk. But then it was like, you know, then it was a machine that you worked along. So the boys would prime. They'd send the tobacco up. And then we'd put it on these like sort of like really big like comb kind of things. And then you'd send it to the kiln hanger. And then he would hang it. And
but
then
who,
they would dry it. And it was
who were you
thing.
Working with? Were all your friends doing it?
Sometimes there was a couple years where it was like you just worked with like everyone that you went to school with.
But was like their parents too? Because is it a bunch of, right?
Yeah, there was the parents where like the parents were the ones spraying us with pesticides. And then the mom would always like, for some reason, the moms just always were like inside cooking and baking. And then they would always like, I remember, like I still have fantasies about
lunch.
Like, oh, look, I got his mouth was open on that one. Yeah, like, oh,
just, but they would always bring us like donuts and stuff. And like the tobacco, like this is how they made up for it. Like, sorry about all the, you know, soon to be cancer. Here's a donut. And we'd be like, okay, you got donuts on Friday. But the thing is, the tobacco is so, like the tobacco gum would be so thick that the boys would have to shave their arms. Like it would would literally be like inches.
Like getting their hair?
Oh, it would, your fingernails, like it would tear your nails off. Like it was awful. Damn. And then, but they would bring out donuts. We would just, we didn't wash our hands. It was just disgusting. But it was also after a while when we got wise, like when we were about like 15 or 16, you started realizing they would bring in a lot of... a lot of people to work in the fields, all right? So there was people that were not from Canada.
Like Italians?
Italians.
Is that what you mean?
You know who you know who didn't work in that field? Her dad. The smartest motherfucker.
Exactly. Hell yeah. Not once. Okay, can I say that
hey, whose fingernail is this on my glaze? Oh, who's missing a fingernail? I got one on my glaze.
Whatever.
Right now.
That's, I almost barfed a little there, but we're good. It's bad. I'm good. I think I'm triggered, but yeah, they would bring in they were Mexican Mennonites is what they were, and that's, it's a whole thing. I don't know. And then so a lot of the times we'd be working with a bunch of men that didn't speak English, and yeah, so then we got wise and we started rolling the tobacco gum into what would look like hash balls and selling it to
at 10?
Did you
no,
really?
This was like 16. This was 16, but it wasn't, you know what I mean? But it looked just like it, and it smelled
and you would
like
tell
it.
Them it was?
Of course.
And you're selling it
and
to who?
And you're like, whoever we could.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How much would
girls got to survive.
How much would a ball of hash like life that is, go is for?
We, you know, we'd go maybe $30.
Damn. For fake hash?
But this is the thing. We
Canadian,
would sell
though.
It,
that was like $8 in the U.S.
$1.50, but it would, you know, we would sell it. You could only sell it once because then they knew, you know, they would, or maybe they didn't. Maybe they smoked it and they probably got high off of it.
I was going to say you might
tobacco gum, like you
pure
probably
tobacco.
Got, I mean, you probably got some sort of high. Maybe you got sick, but
now because it's such like a like your whole town like survived off tobacco and tobacco. Was there like every year like a festival of the tobacco where people like a parade through town and
have,
everyone
like,
goes to pick?
You'd have
that's
like,
what it sounds like.
It does. You'd have a pig roast at the end of harvest.
There we are.
And they literally, it would be a big party where you would get drunk and they would roast a pig. And you, which sounds.
And banana leaves or tobacco leaves.
It had that earthy pig. I was gonna say really smoking pig seriously, but it was like even as I'm saying it, I'm like, I went to pig roasts, but I did, and it's good. I don't,
of course,
are you kidding me? Like wow, it's great. But yeah.
I've had one in Hawaii. It was fantastic.
I bet.
Put it in the ground.
They do that. They bury it, right?
Yeah, and cover it with banana leaves and smoke it for hours.
Like
they'll so
leave
good.
My
leave
mouth
it.
Just watered.
You know, leave.
Just,
no one
just
to
walk
watch
away.
It. Just you leave.
It.
I saw this dude. You ever watch any of those chef's tables?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This one guy in Patagonia and talked about it. And he's like, you know, this is how they used to cook in Patagonia. Like, this guy grew up in, like, this little tiny town where they, like, were very, like, earthy, you know, raw. He went to France, learned how to cook, like, under, like, legit French chefs. And there's, like, this, like, tournament every year, this competition that you can enter. And, like, all the chefs that he ever worked for had entered and won. And so he entered and he was, like, really young. And because he was from Patagonia, it's supposed to be, like, this really, like, ooh, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, she.
And he took his place setting and just dumped potatoes all on the table, like, with dirt still on them. And then every single dish, 10 courses, he used potato in every single dish. Even like three desserts, he won.
Oh,
and they were like, this is going to be a transformation for him. And he was like, nah, man. And he just went back and got even grittier. And like, he's all about like cooking in the ground. And,
oh my God.
But he would say like in Patagonia, there was this one dish that they made on the show or in the doc. And he put the food in the ground and he goes, and then you just leave it. You leave it for like 10 hours and you come back later. People
that's
would do
what they
this
did.
Start in the morning. You go to work in the
and
tobacco fields.
Yeah. And then, then you have dinner.
We went over
knock
in the
your
morning.
Wife around and then dig up the pig.
They it builds up an appetite is what we're saying.
They had
oh
a huge hole dug. This monster pig was in there. They covered it with banana leaves and just let it smoke. And then that night.
Like, what, they put the coals on it or
something? Yeah. And they say,
night,
like, that earth.
We, yeah. We tore that thing up. It was fantastic.
Jesus, right. Getting tribal.
I want to ask you, so I grew up in Maryland, and we would take field trips up to Amish country in Pennsylvania, and that's where I saw tobacco. They would hang it and dry it, but the leaves were...
They're giant.
Yeah, so...
The plants are as tall as you are.
I wanted to ask you. Okay,
yeah,
so that's
really
that's an actual leaf. That's not... When you said you sew them together, they're not smaller, and you guys were
making quilts of these things? It went in like... It went in levels.
A leaf is bigger than you at 10, right?
They would be. They were giant. Like, it was... you could, like, you could work an entire summer in the harvest. Like, once we went away to college, I came back for like a couple years to do the entire thing. So you would plant it, and then you know, by the time it would be almost ready, they would top it, which is just breaking off the flowers at the top, and then you would start harvest, and it went in layers. So it would be sands was first because they were on the ground and they were sandy, and that was the worst. That was the worst stuff. And then it would just go from like,
let those be, are the
know,
lucky strikes.
Yeah. The real cheap one. You know what I mean? And then it would just
Merit
go in, you know,
cigarettes.
Fourth, third, seconds, and then tops. And then tops was always the worst because they were small. So then our days would be really long. But, you know, there were days when we first started that you would start work at 5 and you'd be done at 10. You know, then you'd have your whole day and stuff.
Did you ever smoke?
Never.
Wow.
Never.
But was ever your whole town smoking?
All the farm families were, but anyone else.
Or at
else
least that, chewing yeah, or dipping.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 But it's like.
Using you, it.
I mean, I know it sounds whatever, but like knowing what they do to tobacco, it was just like, oh my God, no. You should. There were tobacco bugs. Oh my God.
Bugs.
Like the size of baseballs.
Whoa.
They were horrifying. And then of course the boys would always collect them and throw them at us, like whip them, like, and it would hurt and they would break and it would, a bug would explode on your back. And it was horrifying.
I've worked in here.
It was horrifying. But
what were
you
they
know
paying
how boys
you?
Are. We actually, I mean, I remember like when I first started, it was like $70 a day.
And damn.
So,
I mean, that's
so
a
you're
lot
10?
At 10,
like,
yeah.
I mean,
you get
come
benefits?
On.
No bennies, no, huh?
But I mean, Canada healthcare was included. But, you know, but then like the good farms, you know, the good farms, like, you know, we would, I mean, I think definitely like my last couple of years working, you were making like, I don't know, 110 a day.
Damn.
And you worked every day. You worked 7 days a week.
Oh, no weekends
yeah.
off?
No, it was just some farms took Sundays off.
You just sucked it up
people.
And did your
well,
5
it was,
to
yeah,
10, basically.
Exactly it. But it was like, it was so short that you didn't care. Like when there was one year that me and my best friend, Julie Koprich, we planted tobacco. And that was the worst thing I've ever done in my whole life. Like we had come back from college and it's like May that you have to do it. And they wanted you had to get the plants in the ground so fast that the days were ridiculous. We'd be on the farm at 4 o'clock and often we would stay until the sunset. So like there'd be times where we'd be there until like 8, maybe like 7:30 or 8. Yeah. And then I remember like you'd be so tired that I would go home and like shower and then I would get into bed and my mother would sit and feed me in bed and then just go to sleep. And then you'd wake up the next day and do it again. But that was only like, it was 2 weeks. They just had to go and you made
and
so,
this was the,
you made so much money. It
this was
stupid.
The 1700s? This was?
Yes.
She's,
it was
she's so
300
weak.
AD.
She has to get back. Back to the fields.
Yes, that was it.
Where'd you go to college?
I went in Toronto. I did. I went to an art school in Toronto called Ryerson.
And what did you study?
I took art at first.
Like, what was your medium?
I wanted to be a fashion illustrator. No, I was I wanted to do that. It was all like, I liked charcoal and Conte and stuff like that. That was it. I just wanted to, I just wanted to do people. I like people. And then like,
all my art's made
out
of tobacco.
You know, please. Back, tobacco background. But yeah, I remember like first starting, you know, I'm what, 19, I think. And, going and doing the first like nude male models and like I never finished the picture.
Whoa!
I never did.
Is everyone else seeing this?
I never did exactly and I never finished the pictures. I didn't draw dicks. I would just do a squiggle. And I was the joke of the class. I was like, oh, Deborah won't finish it. I was like, you know what? I don't even know this man. I'm not gonna,
I'm not gonna
draw
finish.
His penis. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was interesting.
No offense, sir.
Yeah,
you look great.
You're great.
Don't worry about it. That's
it's
all
not
I
you.
Draw, actually.
It's me.
I don't
it's
draw
me.
Anything else.
But
I just
everyone
draw
else would be like, my God, they would get, you know, oh, they'd get detailed.
I'm gonna have to get up close.
Kneeling what, down up there. Like,
what would your teacher say?
She would just laugh. She didn't care. I was a good artist, so they didn't care.
They didn't
like,
give you an incomplete.
Are you ever going to finish? And I'd be like, no, I'm really not. You know, I don't think so. I never did. I just.
Did you do the female models? Did you draw
female
their parts?
Female models, yeah. You know.
Even though you didn't know that.
I didn't I know. But there was nothing hanging
like,
out.
Move it just a touch, Kathy. Okay. Yeah, there it is. Wow.
Did you talk to the models at all?
No, but there was one that I remember he would hang around after class. And like I think he
changing
wanted like,
he's like,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I heard you never finish.
I was going to say, want to finish later? Like it was a lot
your
of
eyesight bad because like, I could show it to you up close.
There was that. And he was, I think he eventually, they fired him because it was like, dude, get out of here. You know, but he would hang around. And it was, you know, it was mainly women and gay men in my school, right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he was trying to mate people. And there was one dude that would drip. Like, he's, yeah, he would drip.
Drip?
Yeah.
I have and never I heard that in my life.
I know it's, I'm sure he was sweating because it was, but like, it was, it dripped. It would drip.
From his dick?
Yes. And I don't
Professor,
know what
sure that was. Professor Tamper, he's dripping. I don't know what you want.
He might have chlamydia.
Slowly,
I don't know who. Who's little background check
but
on these
something
guys?
Is going on. I remember he was a redhead. And it was, which is already weird.
Dripping.
I'm sorry.
My God, just, that is disgusting.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So a lot of nightmares. But anyway.
And so you did 4 years?
I didn't know. I did 2 years. Here, I only did. I quit. I didn't graduate college. I didn't want to go. I actually, when I was in college, I had two professors tell me, they said, you're in the wrong program. You should be entertaining people. And I was like, oh, okay. And I ignored them for years.
You're like, really? Because I think tobacco's where I want to be.
I'm going to change the world.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
And then, so how long after you dropped out did you start stand-up?
Oh, God, a lot. I didn't start stand-up until I was 27.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
me too.
Really?
Well, I started it when I was 20.
Goodness.
And then did it for a few months. And then there was a long layoff in between.
I did
improv before I got back into stand-up.
I tried improv and then I realized, oh, I don't want to do this. Yeah. I don't want to share with people. So I was like, share the stage? Ugh.
No, thank you.
I was like, no, thank you. And then I remember going to my improv instructor and saying, I want to do stand-up. And he was like, don't, it's horrible.
Well, translation.
He's not wrong.
I wasn't good
yeah,
at it.
Exactly. That's exactly
it. Didn't go well for me.
Yeah, but
you'll be good at it, and it still could not go.
I like knowing that someone else can save my jokes.
Yes, exactly. Well, I remember there was always like, remember, improv doesn't have to be funny. And I'm like, but yeah. Shouldn't it be?
Yeah, it should.
Whatever. God bless.
God bless, yes.
I want to talk about the story right here. So,
what is it, Ryan?
Tell me about the Grateful Dead show. Are you a Deadhead? Did you follow the Dead?
I mean, no, not really. No. I mean, you know, I think, God, so the 90s, you know, 20, anything retro, right? Like, so the 70s were retro. And me and my boyfriend in high school, like, it's just, you know, we liked the Allman Brothers. And you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we liked everything from the early 70s.
Classic rock.
Yeah. And so, God, when, you know, this is what, when did Jerry Garcia die? Early 90s? No, mid-90s? No.
Late I really 90s? Can't remember.
Yeah, anyway. But it was, I saw the Grateful Dead several times before he died. And it was just, you know, it was just fun. And we.
In Canada or in the States?
No, always in the States. Never. I think actually they were booked to do Toronto and then he died. God, where were we? It's like we were across the border. I'm terrible at geography. In like Sarnia, Ontario. And I don't know. So what's like directly above, excuse me, what's directly below Toronto? Is it Michigan?
Yeah, Detroit.
Is it?
Like
Detroit.
Buffalo, upstate
so,
New York.
Yeah, I don't remember. Maybe it might have been upstate New York. And, yeah, we went for it was a 3-day thing and
so a 3-day what?
Yeah,
like
just
festival?
A three like no, it was like just
Niagara
like
Falls,
the Grateful Dead
there.
Show was like on the Sunday or something and we just went in 2 days early and camped
in
you
high
know,
school
with everybody else. No, I was probably at this time I was probably 21.
Okay.
Yeah, because I would have
camped
yeah.
Where?
On the grounds.
Tent.
Yeah,
in one of those festivals.
Yeah,
you do a lot of drugs?
Oh, my God. I bought acid from a 7-year-old child.
Ah, what?
Like, definitely.
10-year-old you be proud, girl.
It was
wow,
truly.
Kids working hard over here. You gotta
exactly.
Be 10.
Exactly. And it was just like, I remember he had like a big blotter sheet of like, you know, the dancing bears. And it was just like, my dad says they go for $5 a hit. And I was like, okay, we'll take 10.
Holy
I mean, it was.
Tell your daddy's yeah. A bitch. I'm taking for nothing, you little fuck.
But it was also like very hippie because it was like, I mean, this kid would have not been hard to fight. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was a child. But I think, I think he had someone with him. I don't know. And so, yeah, there was.
That's so dangerous. I had a friend one time who bought a sheet of acid at the Grateful Dead show. Put it in his pocket.
Oh, God.
It rained.
Mm.
And the rain soaked through his jeans.
He was running a drip.
And he got fucking. He got
crazy.
He got fucked up from that.
Oh, I.
It
bet.
Got him that evening. Yeah.
See, I
walks with a limp. Now.
He's still in a mental hospital.
I never had a bad
it got
time
him.
On
he,
LSD.
He realized
though.
It real quick.
Oh,
what was
God.
Happening?
Was like,
he pulled
oh,
that
no!
Shit out. I was like, oh
Jesus,
God,
that kid.
I was
I
like,
mean,
that. Come on, I still can't believe
amount
that
of LSD.
Would that work? You really think that worked? I mean, I think he took acid and was trying to blame it on.
I think you could probably sweat into your pores are open.
Yeah.
He's
but through denim?
True or not.
I mean, whatever. It's very powerful.
A lot of people like to lie.
We don't know.
There's someone out there like, nope, that should happen to me.
Yeah, fair enough. Please, or they tell themselves. I did that. I liked LSD though. That
you did?
Was. I
How many times
it.
Have you done acid?
I think between the ages of like 19 and 24, we did it We did it quite a bit.
Like over over 20? Yeah.
Oh, goodness, yes.
I think the middle.
Maybe like probably like 20 times a year.
Shit.
I know. I'm going to
so
be
over 100. I think the military is seven, I think their number is.
I mean, we would drop acid and then we would go to a concert and dance our faces off.
You never had a bad trip?
I never did.
In
never
how many?
Once.
You're talking about how many?
Like, we're talking 5 solid years. I never had a bad
100 trips.
And I think probably like there was, I think I saw one of my friends have a bad trip and then my brain was like, and now we're done. And I've never done anything chemical since.
That's that whole George Carlin bit.
It was
where,
is it?
Yeah, he has a bit about acid where just eventually it talks.
Yeah.
It's just like,
I think it's like, we're done
now.
Yeah. And that was like, literally it. It was just like, I'm not going to, and I don't think, you couldn't pay me enough to do a chemical.
Well, we put some
now.
In your water, so in about 40, let's know.
This is it. Okay.
Wow, that's,
it's gonna be
an
interesting trip home.
We just had a guy tell a salvia story. It's the craziest drug story we've ever heard. And here you are ripping off 100 positive acid.
And I'm all like your Auntie Deborah. You are. Do you know what I mean? I'm a very whatever. But yeah, it was quite fun. We used to have a nice time. But that trip we also did nitrous. That was the first time we ever did nitrous.
We've told a bunch of that. Yes. That's
they
where I
it,
learned it.
They, yeah, they Dead called shows. It hippie crack is what they called it. And it was this big balloons.
Hippie crack.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I remember like seeing people lining up and taking these balloons. I was like, what's going on over there? And people were like, oh, it's hippie crack. And I was like, what? And I watched a girl like just inhale a balloon and she fell to the ground. Mm-hmm. She shook for a minute, stood up and was like, whoa. And I was like, oh, I'll take 5. What are those? I'll take that. And then later.
And this infant was like, well, they're $2.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Go over there and take one off my
God.
Baby's diaper.
That was a lot of fun. And then it was like, you know, I smoked a lot of weed. And, but you know,
that
when you're
sounds
doing.
Sounds like nothing.
Yeah, I know. When you're doing LSD,
you're doing.
Weed doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it
doesn't
even
you're
on
just
the radar.
Wasting it. Yeah. And at that show, I remember, I'm pretty sure I made out with a homeless dude. I'm pretty sure. I'm not.
You went with your boyfriend?
He was around somewhere. I don't know. Because he sat down with us and he definitely was barefoot, but not like I'm barefoot. Like it was, I think he was barefoot as a state of being. Do you know what I mean? And his name was Squirrel. Like I don't know what I was doing.
Man.
Oh,
me either.
But anyway, but we were very high. And I remember a boyfriend tapping me on the shoulder and going, hey, babe, Sting's starting. And I was like, okay.
let me wrap up this homeless guy here.
Squirrel wants me to play
squirrel.
With his nuts real quick. I won't finish
them. Bury them. It's a
I won't
delicacy.
Finish
3 days later, they're delicious. But yeah.
You should taste them in my mom's sauce.
I don't remember any of the concert. I remember Sting was shirtless. That's all I remember. And then... we were going home, you know, 3 days later, and we were crossing back into Canada. And of course, it's the Canadians that pull us over. But like, in their defense, you know, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. I was in a car with, you know, 3 long-haired, shirtless boys.
And Squirrel.
Sure.
And, one dude, we didn't know that well. And then he was like, can I catch a crab? And we were like, okay. And we were like probably 21, 22, and he was in his 40s.
I was going to say like, 46.
Yeah, so we had that moment of like, but we did anyway. And then we got pulled over. And
like crossing the border?
Yeah, across the border. Like, where were you kids? And we were at the Grateful Dead show. But it, like, I think we said that, but it probably came out more like, because it was, there was no.
Nothing.
No,
were you on acid?
Like, all pupil. Just, I mean, we weren't on acid, but we weren't off it either.
What were you driving?
I don't even remember. it was a van. We were in a van. Like,
man, you got all kinds of red flags pulling back.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, what are you thinking? Like, as if.
That should be a bumper sticker. I'm not on acid, but I'm not off it.
Pretty much.
Because it does linger for
I mean,
her. Listen, she's taking 100 trips. She's never going to be off
it. We've been layering it. You know what I mean? So they were like, okay, pull it over. And then they separated all of us, right? They put us all in separate rooms. And then they started, like, asking me questions. They're like, which one's your boyfriend? Which one are you doing? And I was like, what's happening here? It was very...
Did Squirrel say something?
I thought we were
coming out
the Squirrel.
It was ridiculous. And then they were like, okay, now we have to strip search you.
What if they were we'd like to talk to you about this drawing here? How come you never finished this penis, Deborah?
They brought that model in. We have some questions. And then they strip search us. But here's the thing.
Wait.
Yeah.
they just tell you, but
because in the car they took apart the car and they found rolling papers and seeds. They found marijuana.
That's it.
Seeds.
That's all exactly. They found for that. That's just the case for.
They
a
also
strip
found
search.
A radiator leak. They found a radiator leak
and a couple bad belts.
Again,
we're gonna need you to get naked.
You're gonna do 2 weeks in jail, but we're gonna fix these belts. That's the Canadian way.
Listen, your oil's a quart low, man. We're gonna need you to take your pants off, check everything out.
they didn't like the radio station.
This KLOS,
these precepts are bullshit right here. We're going to need you to get naked while we check some shit out.
But then, okay.
That's really all they found.
Pretty much. And then they strip searched all of us, and then, you know, of course.
And in your bags and personal belongings, yeah. You didn't have any other assets,
well,
that
thing.
Stuff?
No, this is the thing. Okay, so we you all go, all the four of us, and then the fifth dude that we didn't know that well, right? So we all go and get strip searched, and they bring in two very handsome ladies for me, and they're like, we're not going to touch you. And I was like, fuck, of course you're not going to touch me. Like, hello. But then, you know, we'd...
But
like,
listen, I'm a little high, so if you want
I could use a hug. I could use a hug.
Happy hug. Well, all right.
But the thing is, like, I only had a satchel with me. Like, we didn't bring anything. I'd been wearing the same, you know, sundress and undies for 3 days.
Yeah.
Do you know? So it was just like watching them flip your undies in and out. I was just like, oh, no. Like, it was horrifying.
I apologize,
I don't know what's happening. Squirrel, we don't know. It was a whole thing. But the good part about the strip search was is that I was 21 and I was very cute. So, like, there's part of me that's like, I wonder if there's tape somewhere. I mean, I wouldn't.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, for old enough. But fine. So we all get strip searched. Everything fine. We go back in. But the fifth guy, we're like, where's the fifth dude? I can't remember his name for the life of me. He didn't say a word to any of us, and in his strip search, apparently he had a piece of hash the size of a slice of bread just stuck to
his...
Was
it hash or tobacco
ball? Right, it's a tobacco ball.
I sold it to him. But it was stuck to his thigh, his inner thigh. I guess he just thought that they would miss it. I don't know. And it was literally one of those things he was telling us about it. He was like, he couldn't leave. He stayed. And we left. But he said that they were like, sir, what's that on your thigh? And he was like, I don't, what are you talking about? Like, he just...
It's a skin tag.
Pretend like...
It's a skin tag.
That's not mine. These aren't my thighs or whatever. But yeah, so he didn't leave and we left. And there you go.
I mean,
and then the soul story.
Did the boys get strip searched too when you talked to them, or was it just you?
The boys all got strip. We all got strip searched, and then the end of the story was that as we were driving home, and then I think we dropped off the other two guys, but me and my boyfriend were so like the adrenaline and the drugs are still. So then we fucked in the back of the van. I'm not sure if anyone else would be pulled over on the side of the road.
Squirrels just watching.
I don't know if anyone was in the van. I literally can't remember, but. We made it home. I'm still alive.
Wow. I mean, that's the way to do it, right?
That's a good end to a Grateful Dead show, right? Isn't that the way?
I'm pretty sure that's how most
Grateful Dead stories. There we go. So,
you know, I didn't... Like,
I did stuff.
I never had any friends in high school that were like deadheads or like, you know, I didn't do any drugs.
Yeah.
And when I went to college, my roommate, I mean, literally... pulled around to the back of the dorm, and there was no driveway there. He just pulled into the grass in a red Chevy convertible. I forget what it was, what the model was, but he was wearing a tie-dye Grateful Dead t-shirt, John Lennon purple sunglasses, and he had a Don Quixote lamp that was like a giant Don Quixote lamp sticking out of the back seat that he drove from New Jersey. And I was just like, and he probably had trucking fucking cranking. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. I was like, this is my roommate. Yeah, who's this guy? I did whippets with him. I did weed with him. I did acid with him. I did mushrooms with him.
Oh yeah, I didn't do. I never Greg did Quail, any what's drugs up, in Lance? High school. I only drank. We only drank in high school. I didn't. The minute I left my house, that's when drugs started.
Yeah. We had a kid who, when you wanted, outside of weed, when you really wanted drugs, that was when we looked everybody. And I just liked to be around it. I enjoyed all of it. I didn't smoke until I was 21. I was a big time late bloomer, but.
Big time late bloomer.
Oh. Opium, acid, shrooms.
That was opium?
That's when the dead would come. I haven't had it. No, I'm saying these people,
like
my brothers and all my friends, when we would look, okay. Dead's coming to the Capitol Center, so we would just go, and even if we didn't have a ticket, we'd all go hang out in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But that's where they would get all that
sell
shit.
Peanut butter sandwiches.
Exactly. I need a miracle. Somebody's selling a peanut butter sandwich, you know, buying from the 70-year-olds and all that shit over there. That's where I learned about nitrous balloons. It was the first place I'd ever seen that. And a line just tanks of them standing there.
And then later I worked at a dentist office, and me and one of the one of the assistants, you want to do some nitrous after work? I mean, this is...
How often are you doing it?
Not often. Not often. Because we then, you know, we realized twice a month, 4 or 5 years. No, no. But it was, you know, then we caught, we're like, oh, fuck, yeah, they marked the levels. So then we were like, hey, we can't do this. We're going to get in trouble. So we stopped.
So we started doing the Novocaine.
It was so fun.
It was unbelievable.
But it was so fun, though, right? Like, that was very fun. It's weird. I also, I never loved mushrooms because I couldn't get them down. Like, do you know what I mean?
Really?
And then
I also
watched one of my friends vomit so violently. Like, I was just like,
me
no.
too.
Oh, my God.
He had a seizure.
Oh, like, it was out her nose. Oh. Like, it was, she couldn't vomit enough. You know what I mean? And I was just like, ah! And I have a vomit phobia. So I was like, I can't. No, thank you.
Were you also a drinker?
Yeah, I was, but I liked drugs way more.
Yeah.
I was saying to Jay that I quit smoking pot 2 years ago, but I quit drinking about 13 years ago. And that was literally like, it wasn't, I think a lot of people think that, oh, that I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm actually not. I just stopped drinking because it started to make me sick.
Listen, I know
and
a lot of people
like,
in the program,
and
denial's a big part. It's a
just
big part.
Why did you stop weed?
You know what? I stopped weed because... Like, I think it was one of, like, the Carlin joke. Like, it literally, my brain was like, I'm done. Like, and I'd wanted to quit for a long time.
We've done a lot of drugs.
It's, yeah.
I'm just doing the basic math.
A lot. Yeah. I mean, a lot.
I saw you last night do a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
Not like this.
Yeah, but I mean,
this fucking same. Druggy.
I was a bit of a power smoker. I was chronic. Like, I smoked all day. Like, about the time that
would
I turned...
Would you do stand-up baked?
You know what? I would always... Like, my cutoff was an hour. Like, if I had a show at 8 o'clock, my last joint would be at 7.
Okay. Because, I mean, for what you do and how you do it, I mean, I don't know how.
I like everything better. I'm not kidding. Like, I really do. I like being
sober. Well, I heard
sober,
you're more fun to be around,
more.
Actually.
I think so. Yeah. Like, I'm not like you. Who said that? I want names. But I just... Yeah, I like being clear. But I realized, you know, it didn't... I had this sort of... thing with my best friend where I was like, I'll quit pot when it starts fucking with my career. And then probably in about 2011, like I was like, and then I started thinking maybe I'll quit. And then when I moved to California and it became, because here's the thing, in like Toronto, like this was like my drug dealer would be like, here's your pot. And that was it. He just gave me a bag. And then I got a medicinal card and I went to dispensaries and I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like it was too good and too much. And I was like, oh, I'm going to die. This is it. I'm going to die in my apartment. And then like the first 2 years being here, like I just smoked in my apartment. And then I was like, what am I doing? So then like Christmas 2015, just like everything in my body was like, you're done. You're just done. And then I just decided January 4th, 2016, I was like, I'm done. And I haven't smoked since. Yep. So now I do nothing. I went from that to like.
It's good.
That's it.
You know.
Is it? I don't know.
Hey, if you're happy.
That's right. Whatever works.
It's true. Whatever works.
And once that acid kicks in later on, you'll be like, oh, maybe I'll go back.
I'm happier. Yeah, now I just do chemicals.
You're guaranteed some flashbacks throughout the rest of your life, I would imagine. You don't need to do any more drugs. That shit's going to keep coming back to visit.
I mean, have you ever had one?
What's up, man?
No, never. Never. Although I wait for that.
We're back.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, never. Never, never.
I mean, I don't even know how true that is. I mean,
me neither. How true
is the
flashback?
It has to be like buried deep down somewhere in the heat. I don't know. You know, like sweat makes it out or something.
Yeah, I guess. Please. And I'm a sweater, so no. You know what?
I'm a sweater.
I am. So if that is, then maybe it's
my
gone
dick drips,
because
I'm
of the
not
sweating.
Gonna lie to you.
Something is dripping. I don't know what it is. I'll look down.
I'm mine. I'm a sweater too.
Anyway.
Yeah. I want to hear about these
fights.
Yeah, you said you had fights, and it surprised me.
It always surprises me
the people who
I know.
Not always. Actually.
Well, okay, like fights started young for me because I'm gonna tell you.
Gotta make your way in those tobacco fields.
You know what I mean?
Tobacco road up there.
No, but you know, like it's like I wasn't a popular child. I was badly bullied when I was little, and you know I'm. Partially, I'm sure some of it is because, you know, I did have a twin sister and we were in a small town and not fraternal. And my twin is very classically beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like
Fucking bitch.
It was awful. Like, it was just one of those, like, oh, this great. Like, it just was. And I was just not. I was the spunky one. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. She's fun. And Joanne was beautiful. Is beautiful. Still is beautiful. But so I feel like it was, like, at the beginning, like, it was for survival. Like, I think probably around, like, I don't know, maybe, like, when I was about 11, I had that moment. I was like, wait a minute, I can punch this motherfucker back. And then that's when it started happening. You know, that's, and I remember.
Were these boys bullying you, or girls,
boys,
or both?
It was boys. Always. It was all boys. And, like, I mean, like, but today, is it just like, did they just, like, say bad words to you? Because, like, in my day, they would punch us. Like, if this was like, I was getting beat by boys.
I've seen some terrible videos online that are just so bad, and you're just like, how is this possibly happening?
I've never.
And if that ever happened to my, I would go the fuck out of that.
Like, you know what? For some reason,
every guy I know would have pounced on a dude. I mean, these videos I see of these guys.
You see girls.
Why is it worse when it's girls? I don't know why, but it upsets me more when it's girls beating other, or girls or boys. You know, girls beating up
boys.
But
a boy hitting a girl, like the way I see on these videos today, I've never witnessed that in all of the years I've been in school, ever.
Like, did you guys, like, I went to my grade school was pretty much Catholic, right? And, like, you had recess and stuff. We were alone. Like, no one came. Like, we were just alone. And so then the beating started. And then I think it was probably grade six. And
a couple girls took dodgeballs to the face. But I can't say they didn't deserve it. You know what I'm saying?
Move faster.
I was in.
That's it. But I remember, like, it, you know, it's an episode starting. And, like, I punched Leslie Alberti out. Like, he dropped, and I was like, oh, fuck. And I ran home because I knew I was going to be in trouble. And we lived close enough that I was like, I should probably go. And then I got home. My mom was like, what are you doing home? And I was like, is the phone rung? And then the phone rang, and I was like, Yeah, that's because
that's
of me.
Why I'm here.
Yeah, so then that kind of started. Like, that was, like, you know, the
How
end of junior school.
How did your mom take it, though?
Actually, pretty good. Like, because
she
mom
managed
her
for a while. I mean, that on a circuit.
Let's get out there on that road work.
Come on now, work the back.
Step up, hit that back, girl.
Raw
time.
Eggs, raw Let's eggs go. For breakfast.
Everyone's
got cereal.
Hey, before you hit the fields.
12 raw eggs. Anyway, but yeah, and then I feel like I had a lot of residual anger in my youth. And then when we started drinking, so, like, when I was, you know, 18 to, like, 22, there'd be a lot of, like, I don't know, it was a lot of just not, like, fist fighting, but, like, a lot of pushing of girls. I remember,
like,
once,
in bars and shit.
Yeah, I remember once, like, being.
So it feels like Canada.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
You're still talking about guys pushing.
No, this
girls.
Is now. This is girls. Girl this is girl. Me. Okay. Girls. Deborah versus girls.
Got
and so it was. There was a lot of that, like, you know, dance floor pushing, and then, like, and I was a bit of a smart mouth, and then I remember a girl, like, taking two blue drinks and throwing them at me.
Oh, man.
And then I was just like, holy fuck. And she just, her look on her face, like, she's like, oh, I'm in trouble. And then I think I probably grabbed her hair and, like, knee to the face. I'm not proud of myself. But that stopped
that's
around,
the shit,
like,
I would do.
That's probably, it stopped fuck around, like, yeah. 23. Then I was like, okay, what am
you
I
know
doing?
You know what, fuck it. I'm going to dial it back. Let me get into acid for a minute here.
I'm going to check
Let's
out.
Let's chill out and
I
take
need
some
to chill
acid.
Chill out for
you know, I mean, how'd you retire? Did you retire undefeated? That's how, like, you go just, out on
yeah,
top.
Exactly. Yeah,
what
exactly.
What do you think your record is?
I don't know. Oh God.
You think you're like 10-4?
Maybe.
That's tight.
That's yeah. Well, I'm not.
You think 14
lie.
Fights?
I'm a bit scrappy. I would say probably like at least
lifetime.
10.
Lifetime
like,
record.
Yeah. Lifetime probably. But I mean, like, the young stuff, that was just survival. You know. Yeah. Then I got older. I was just.
I've
angry.
Lost two.
I was just.
I've
angry.
Lost two. One I knew. One I definitely lost.
I've
and
only
another
had
one I got
two,
jumped.
And I lost two.
And I gotta be honest, it shouldn't be a loss, but that was a loss.
But you
how
know,
many I didn't know I was fighting.
There is a
all the rest
fighting
are
culture,
wins.
Though.
Well, how many were the other ones?
Maybe eight.
Oh.
8-2 all the time.
Or 10-2 somewhere around there.
When was the last time you punched somebody? Like, seriously.
My son 2 days ago.
Last time I punched somebody was literally right before I moved here.
Oh.
So it would well.
California's chilled you out.
Yeah, probably. I haven't thrown a punch at someone in my 30s.
Oh,
it was in my 20s. It was still in my 20s.
You should. That's allowed.
Yeah, you got it.
Once you
got to
retire.
30,
it's like, come
you
got
to retire for fighting. And it was probably my.
But this is like,
my mid 20s.
We're in the state. Like, where is fighting culture? Because Canada. There seems to be a lot of fighting going
Maryland on. Maryland has a lot of fighting.
Does it really?
A lot of fighting, yeah. Oh, okay. Yes.
I feel like the, like, you know, the poor, dumber areas, you know what
fight,
I mean? Yeah,
right?
Fight, uneducated, yeah, bad breeding, you know what I mean? Just
fighting. Like there is like right. This is not.
I think fighting is. I don't. Yeah, I think there's. You know,
crazy. Just an aggressive. Okay, no,
this isn't
chip
my story.
Shoulder,
but this
area.
Is. This is a friend of mine, and this happened like in August of last year. In the East Coast of Canada, there's a lovely city called Halifax.
I know.
And it's yeah, Halifax is terrific, but it's also they drink a lot. It's the East Coast,
but
sort of known
Canada
for drinkers.
Drink a shit ton
yeah,
too?
Absolutely. But because you know, and also our drinking age is 19. Some provinces, it's 18.
Oh, I didn't
18.
Know that. It's still
yeah,
that?
Still 19.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But there's like four provinces where it's 18. So you're fucking 18, and you can buy booze anyway. So East Coast, which I think it might be 18 out there. Anyway, there's a corner like when the bars let out, everyone kind of goes and you get pizza and whatever. So friends of mine. In August, and he's a grown man. He's like 42, and he'd gone. He was super drunk with a pal, and he got sucker punched, like they both did. He apparently says all he remembers is bumping into a girl, and then he woke up in the hospital.
That's yeah,
oh, man.
And
that's
how it goes. And this seems to happen a lot outside of like I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's a specific area in Canada, but like he was. There was two guys, and one of them was beaten so bad he was unconscious for like a day. And
Damn.
Then my friend Darren they broke his cheekbones. Like, what the fuck? Yeah,
that's
and nobody
exactly
saw
what
anything.
Happened to me.
No one sees anything. And whatever. And it's just like.
You
yikes.
Literally wake up in the hospital.
He woke up in the hospital and was just like. Okay.
The last thing I heard was watch out for these guys.
Me.
They're drunk and they're looking for trouble. And then
seriously?
I woke up in a hospital.
Oh,
yeah.
Did anyone find those guys to get arrested or anything?
No, they didn't get arrested. They didn't fucking arrest them after all
But
that.
Did they find them or no?
They found them and everything.
Oh, and
they,
nothing happened.
They kicked my face and fractured my jaw.
Oh, my God.
And my skull, the stitches and everything.
Get out.
I was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance. I don't remember. I woke up
How
in the
How long were
hospital.
You in the hospital?
I don't know what time I got there.
Like
but
hours
oh, yeah,
or days?
A good part of, no, a good half a day,
oh my
I'd
God.
Say. Yeah.
Wow.
And then they let me out.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
right? That's crazy.
It was nuts.
I think fighting in general is crazy.
It's crazy. So do I.
It was just a couple drunk fucking idiots that wanted to start, you know, wanted to fight.
I just never get it. I don't get it. I'm just,
me neither.
Like, physically hurting.
No.
I mean, it would take a lot for me to have to do that to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
As broken as you are,
it
Jake,
would
you are not that broken.
But it would probably have to
Thank
be a protection
God.
Thing for you,
no.
right? Like protecting
it
your
would
children
be
or something?
Because yeah, I've had people want yeah. to fight me. And
yeah,
trust me, I throw my mouth around.
Yeah.
But I just never
trust them.
Put it to a point where I'm like,
I'm
this is the dumbest
you.
Thing.
No.
I've talked my way out of fights by being like, how dumb would it be for us to do that? You're telling a guy he was dumb to his face over like the fact that he wanted to fight me. And then he's just sitting there like raging because he wants to fight me so bad. And I'm just like, well, I'm not fighting you. But that's too bad.
It's weird. It's a weird part of culture.
But we thought maybe at the end of the podcast we would fight you.
Come on!
Somebody's got to get a loss in here.
I've been meaning to get back into it, to be honest. I really have. It's good exercise, first of all.
It's great.
Excellent cardio. So there you go.
You've had some... I'm looking at your list here, too. You've had some pretty interesting jobs.
Yeah.
I can't say anybody here has ever worked the night shift at a car parts factory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is that all about?
That was weird, too. That was like, you just, you know.
For what company?
Oh, God.
Is it like for
AC
Ford
Delta?
Or?
It's, you know, that I'd have to check. I remember the place was
to
called
check.
Fleck.
Check where? Like what, in your old journal?
Yes, exactly. Dear Diary, today at the plant.
It still somewhere.
I can't remember, but it was like.
But was this in that little town?
It was in the little town. It was in Tilsonburg, and this was like.
So yeah, it's clearly.
A lot going on
I was gonna say it's clearly a blue collar.
It is. It absolutely is.
Just everyone's working.
As you would guess, tobacco is dying because it's you know.
Because
yeah,
the
tobacco
because it was
yeah.
killing people.
People are catching on.
Because
so
people
not,
are dying.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
why
exactly.
tobacco's dying.
But this was like again, it was one of those like amazing jobs. Like it was you know, God, when was I? I think it might have been my first year graduating high school, and that I would come back for like my one last summer,
mm-hmm.
and got an over. It was 10 p.m. until 6,
yep.
and it was. And I remember the job. I worked with a couple of my friends, and the job was like it was like on a conveyor belt, and all we had to do like quickly. It was actually
you're like
kinda,
I have tons of conveyor
it
belt
was
work.
Kinda,
my resume.
I'm please, is that going to help me at all? I like it was sort of like I remember thinking this is kind of fun, but it's only because I was doing it for 3 months and not for the rest of my life. But it was like they had like big like sheets of I think it was like not tire parts, but I think it was like car seats or something. So like I just had to like take out pieces of. Like, you know what I mean? Like this perforation, you just had to grab them out. But it went really quickly. So it was like just grab. But we would stand and you worked with people that had been working at this plant for, you know, 20 years. And we'd come in and we're like, we're 19, hi. And it was really hot. So we were like, you know, we're like, shirts that you tuck in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You do that little wrap thing mm-hmm. in between and whatever.
I still
and
do that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so it was like everyone, all the guys here are so nice. And I was like, yeah, because we're 19 and they're 40.
They're jacking off you right now from the break room.
And we all like, yeah, this like, why is everyone so nice to us? I was like, oh, yeah, because we're 19 and you don't even know how adorable you are and blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, we would get high on break. And
would you go to a bar at 6 a.m.?
No.
I've always, like, I have a fascination with like mill bars, you know, like that are like, oh. You know, like there are bars all around steel mills.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? That open at 6 a.m. because people get up the late shift and they go in. And a bar in the morning where people are drinking and eating, I just love.
That's it. Yeah, that does sound like
when
a
there's
good
energy
idea.
In there. Not yeah, like yeah, yeah. Not the sad ones when no. You're in there and there's a
like
guy.
Like they get off work and they're like, woo!
Yeah. Yeah. And they're just having a couple pops before they go home.
Mm. When I worked at UPS. You want to give me one?
You say it.
Shout out to UPS Baltimore Hub, Primary 1, Joe Avenue. We would get those old timers would work the conveyor belts, the sorters. I mean, they would get off at like 4:30 or 5. They would go down the hill to the Spring Mill Inn, mm-hmm. and that was their – it was breakfast, everything. They were all in there drinking.
So what, they drink and eat breakfast?
Yeah, that's their night. That's their – we just – you know, they're 7 p.m., happy hour and everything down there at 6 a.m., wow. getting their eggs and everything.
I remember there was a strip club. No, it wasn't. We didn't have a strip club in Tillsonburg, but we had a bar that at lunch would have strippers, and then there'd be a deal that you could go in and get like a beer, two hot dogs – a lap dance for like $20.
My God.
And I think the strippers only came out at noon, which has got to be a pretty good gig. You know what I mean? It's like you just dance between 12 and 2.
Strippers come out at noon.
And I think some of them would, you know, would like also come back to the bar at night. And then I remember a woman would always offer hand jobs for $5 to all my boyfriends.
Are you
and
serious?
I was like, that seems very cheap.
Yeah. That's a, I mean.
So she's finished.
A buck of fingers.
I was going to say, she must be real fast, right? That is, I mean.
You should see her on the conveyor belt. Light.
I tell you, I think she must have had like some sort of robotic arm or something like that. You know
God
I mean?
Damn.
Everyone's getting
probably
$5?
10 tonight is now.
But
it was
the 80s. It was a different time. $5 went farther, I guess. I don't know. It's weird.
$5 U.S.
Yeah. What about.
Bitcoin.
You said you worked at a Chinese food restaurant.
Oh, my God.
Was that
okay.
also up there, too?
Yes, it was. And it was called Ming's Gardens. And
just
it was.
Ming's last
I was,
name we
yeah,
talked about.
I was 14. And this was, like, you know, during the school year. And I worked with my, like, four of my best friends. Because, you know, whatever.
She'd already been working full-time
that's
for 5 years
I,
at that point.
I got a resume like a motherfucker already getting Ming's.
Call my references. Good.
See what happens. Literally. Ridiculous.
I'm having a hard time.
But I liked,
it on
you know what
page.
I mean? I liked stuff. So I would have a part time job. Like we never got allowance when
I
was growing up.
I hear that.
My dad was like, we don't get allowance. You live
Dad's
here.
Like, I don't have that in the budget.
But legally, we couldn't work at 10. Okay.
But yeah, and we worked at this little, I mean, you know, and Tillsonburg was very, you know, it was not diverse. And so this little Chinese food restaurant, it was basically just like a buffet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like chicken balls and stuff like that, which I couldn't eat to this day. Gross. But it was also like, you know, there was no air conditioning. And again, it was like four or five 14-year-old girls. And our uniform was short black skirts and, you know, little blouses with bow ties. And in the summer, like there was – so we would wear – like the outfits would get smaller and smaller because we were so hot. And then we wouldn't realize on the buffet, why is it all old single men? And I'm telling you the truth. Like I can't believe – some of the stuff that happened there. Like, I can't, I was 14. I was there early in a Saturday afternoon, and some fucking old creep came, and there was like the little waitress station.
Yeah, real quick, I don't want to interrupt, but are you talking about an employee or a guest?
Just a guy
customer.
That wandered in off the street. And they, the couple that owned it, they also, I think
his
they
name was
lived.
Raccoon.
Buddy of squirrel.
Yes. I'm into the little scavengers. That's what I'm into. But they were all back in the kitchen, you know, preparing for the night. And I was in the little waitress station, which was small. Like you could fit two of us, two girls in there, but it was not for a man to come in and you know, whatever. So I remember he was drunk. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then he was like, are you Italian? And I was like, yeah, I'm Italian. Then he was saying things and I was like, I'm 14.
Like,
I'm like, I don't understand. What are you asking of me? And then like he put his hand up my skirt.
Holy
I know.
Shit.
I know. And then I, at 14, was like, what? And I panicked. And I was like, you should go sit down. And then he was all weird. And then I ran to the kitchen. And I said to my boss, Richard, I said, a man just touched me. And he was like, what? And I said, a man out there touched me. And he got a fucking cleaver. like a gigantic knife. He's like, where? And he ran outside.
Right in front of the shrimp fried rice. That guy.
That's him right there.
That motherfucker.
He's getting extra duck sauce, too, you know. Put the plum sauce down, you motherfucker.
And he chased that man out of the restaurant with a cleaver. Good. And he was like, you're going to fucking touch one of my...
Holy crap.
And then I was just standing there like, oh. And then his wife, her name was also Deborah, and she came out, and she was like, why did you let him touch you? And I was like...
Let him?
Exactly. And I panicked. She was like, because I was serving him coffee, and I had a coffee pot. She's like, you take the coffee pot and you smash it into his fucking face.
Like,
and I was like, I'm allowed to do that? And she's like, yes.
And then you pour it on him and burn him. Yeah.
And I was just like, okay. And then I realized, I was like, okay, so you're good people. And I worked for them for a couple years because they were really lovely. But I was like, I know it was, but just it, and
that
I think
happened
everyone
a lot?
It happened over and over because it would just, you know, just creeps and like, oh, getting chicken balls. What else you have that's battered? And I'm like, get that. Like, it was just all, we'd get
well,
sauce
we have,
on it. It was, you know.
Sweet and sour chicken. We have.
We got shrimps on Sunday. And it was just so fucking creepy. You know, it was so creepy. And but, like, we didn't even. We
you
just
all had
like,
the,
okay.
You guys inadvertently had the Hooters outfit on
yeah,
at the
we
Chinese
did exactly.
restaurant.
That's
yeah.
pretty much what it was. And it was just like, I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe that we all did. And, you know, I saw the girls from high school not too long ago, and like we had one of those like stories where like this happened to me, this happened to me, this happened. It was very Me Too. It was a very Me Too
wow.
hashtag, but it was all like what the
all
fuck?
From
how did
that
this
restaurant.
Happen? I know this restaurant
at the but auto like... parts overnight shift. Everybody was great over here. The daytime buffet.
The guys you think would be the ones who'll yeah, be yeah, all yeah. over you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, creeps,
hitting you with the chopstick.
You know what I mean? Please, trouble.
We are always a big fan of ghost stories here.
Yeah.
You said you have one.
I have a minor one. I have a minor one. Okay, my grandmother on my mom's side, I never met my dad's parents. They died quite young. My grandmother, so British, and when my grandpa died, I was probably about 12 when my grandpa died. And then my grandmother, okay, my grandfather left behind. He always used to wear this plaid like beret, which I think they called a tam in Scotland. I might be making that up.
I have no idea.
But he called it his Katie, and I don't know why. I don't know if that was the official British word for it or whatever. But he wore it all the time. And so when he died, he gave it to I think he wanted my mom to have it. And then – but my mom wouldn't take it. Like she was just like, no, no, no. She was saying to her mom, my grandmother, she was like, you keep it. You keep it. But I remember my mom would hang it in the front foyer of our house, right? So a little nail, and she hung the Katie. And then my mom and my grandmother would have this back and forth. You take it. You take – no, no, he wanted you to have it. You take it. And my mother would always try to give it back to my grandma. So she would take it down. Off the, you know, off the nail, and she would put it into my grandmother's purse, and my nanny would leave, and then whatever, and she'd be like, you know, I, why did you give it back to me? Blah blah, and they had this conversation. But there was one time where my mom put it in my grandma's purse, and she was just like, look it, I'm not going to keep it, no, whatever. And then we woke up the next morning, and it was back on the wall.
Whoa.
And
for real?
It was back on the wall. And we're like, and my father was like, you didn't put it in the purse. And my mother was like, I put it in the purse. I absolutely put it in the purse. And then we called my grandma and we're like, did you put it back in the wall? And she swore she didn't put it back on the wall. And but it was back. And I'm telling you the truth, that happened like 3 or 4 times.
Really? More than once?
It kept happening.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
What? It was
this
my
was
grandmother.
Your grandmother.
But listen, it was
trying
spooky.
To keep this mystique.
I know,
like,
I know.
She wanted to believe she married some special dude.
Gee, I know it. But it was at like 12. I was like, oh my God. But it was very spooky at the time.
Oh my God.
Do you have good ghost stories, or have you told them all and everyone's heard them already?
I wish I had better ones.
Rye has one similar to yours that wasn't really a ghost story.
About my grandfather's beret? Oh my God. It was you.
It was Squirrel, actually. Squirrel in there.
What happened?
Do you know that? Hold on. Did you know Raspberry Beret is about the same kind of thing? That's how it all.
That's how Prince came up with it.
Yeah, his Nana had this beret, you know?
No, we've told all our ghost stories, but we've had some. I would say Karen Kilgariff's probably got the craziest ghost story.
And Karen Kilgariff.
Yeah.
You know?
Ooh, what was hers? Should I go back and listen? I'll go back
you
and listen.
You should definitely go back
her.
And listen.
Okay.
When we had her back on, we had to discuss it.
Seriously?
I want to do a live podcast with her in that house.
Whoa.
Like, spend the night in
you
that
wanna
house.
You want to do it with her?
Oh, my God.
The live podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought, no, I thought it was funny because he's like, I want to do a live podcast with her. Like, yeah, I'm going to have her. It's like you go to the, do that house. I'm like, sorry, Karen, we're not going to bring you on.
You can call in if you want.
You want to call
but
in?
That's
maybe
it. Yeah.
Spiritually.
I know. I wish I kind of, my best friend is very into ghost stories and aliens and shit like that. And I think she wants something to happen.
I wish
she
we does, had people that, you know, had a UFO
like a really
experience
good
story.
One, like
a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
never had that.
Fun. Do you believe in that?
I do.
Yeah,
I mean,
it.
You have to.
You kind
of
have
I mean,
to.
I believe in it. I don't believe in a lot of people's stories of what happened to them, but I certainly believe in it. Yes.
Sure. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, there's the whole thing of, like, really, who do we think we are? We think we're the only form
right.
of life. There's no way. But
not in
I've
an
never
infinite
had any.
Universe.
No way.
Have you seen, like, any of those videos people post online where they, like, they take you from the earth, past the sun,
yeah.
past our moon, past this, and then all of a sudden you see where, like, the giant galaxy that you can't even comprehend is this tiny little dot within this, and you're just like, your brain's like, I can't handle
it. But it is one of those, it is one of those things, that and, like, death, like, my brain goes, can't do it, can't think about it, because it's too much, right?
Yeah.
I don't think about death. Do you think about death?
Once in a while, yeah.
But not in any capacity that, like,
for more than a fleeting moment, kind
I mean,
thing.
I have a daughter, so I think about, like, life insurance and shit like that.
Oh,
and that's in
yeah,
wills, so
yeah,
ultimately
yeah.
you're thinking about death.
Yeah, yeah. How old is your daughter?
She's three.
Three.
I used to, like, take off on planes and be like, yeah, whatever. If we go down, we go down. But now, same thing. Because I have kids, I'll be taking off. I'm like, fuck, I don't want to leave them.
Y'all get Wi-Fi. I need to get on LegalZoom real quick.
I never even think of – I just think of, like – but that's the –
that's
2 seconds
only time.
I'm over. I'm like, get over it. Planes are flying all the time.
Yeah, planes are
flying. But other than that, I mean, sometimes, you know, you just.
I tried to think, like, when you're like any near death experiences, I'm like, and I had this moment, I was like, I'll try to think of one. I was like, would I remember if I had a near death experience?
No.
I got nothing. Sorry.
Yeah, but you don't, not, I don't have any near death experiences.
Don't you?
No.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, what?
I was in Mexico and I stepped out of a cab. The guy drove on the shoulder to get us somewhere, and I stepped out of the cab, and a huge pickup truck had done the same thing behind us. And as I stepped out on the driver's side, the truck went right next to my face, hit the door, bent it all the way up against the driver's side. The metal was banging the side of his truck all the way down. He took off.
Whoa.
I would have been
mutilated. You would have been
mutilated.
Just nothing.
Mutilated.
I had in Toronto, I was at a subway station where there was also streetcars. You know, in Toronto, we have streetcars, the above ground, like, you know, San
like
Francisco.
Trolleys.
Yeah. But when they're fabulous. Streetcars are the best. And, but, you know, of course, they're on a track. They only go the certain direction. Fine. So there's a big subway station across the street from my doctor's office. And it's one of those things, like, the subway lets you out and you're at street level, and the intersection is, like, you know, it's like 3 blocks away. So your brain's like, let's just scoot across the street, right?
Yeah.
So I'm running across the street, and, like, I'm not an idiot. Like, I looked. Is there nothing coming? Of course not. And I ran across the street, and I got hit by a truck.
You
Whoa.
Did?
Yeah. And it was
square, or they clipped you?
Like, this was it threw me. Like, I had flip-flops on, and
crap.
It threw my flip-flops, like, 3 car lengths ahead of me. Like, and it was...
How old were you?
Probably, like, 26.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah, I ran across the street. You know, it's a big, wide street, because it's got the streetcar tracks and whatever.
Pickup truck?
And, yeah. And it was, when I got hit, there was a woman that saw the whole thing, and then she was just, she said, like, I think the man must have panicked and stepped on the gas, because he was not near me. And then, like, they had, you know, skid marks and stuff that the cops were like, yeah, you stepped on the gas, like, something happened, because they surged into me, hit me, threw me, and my flip-flops. But what it was sort of like that, like, it was a streetcar was coming, and so I got thrown, like,
into the path of a streetcar?
I was an inch from the path of a streetcar. The streetcar stopped because I was so close. Like, if I would have been just like just a scooch to the left, I would have been hit by the streetcar. And so then and the streetcar stopped, and everyone was like, ah! And the thing is, I was right outside of my doctor's office, so I was like, I'm just going to go to the doctor now. And I went in, but
I heard you tell this story in another podcast, and you said, when they interviewed the guy that hit you, he was like, that bitch had me thrown out of an Asian restaurant.
This is my payback.
This is my chance. That was it. That was exactly it. I'm telling you.
I was reaching for the beef and broccoli. No, I didn't know.
She said I was up for skirt.
She said that's where she kept the cream. I don't know what it is.
I had 12 Mai Tais at that point.
But I did look up. And when I was lying on the ground, I was getting hit by a truck. I looked up to the streetcar, and my ex-boyfriend was on the streetcar. And I looked up and, like, waved, and he was like, hey. Hi.
No so broken bones?
No, that's what I was going
to
say.
No, I wasn't broken, but I was so bruised. Like, it was like my entire right side of my body was really, really bruised. And I remember the driver saying,
you're like, I fucking sorted that car part that hit me right there, goddammit.
That's it.
Laying under.
Everything.
Is that a D-180?
Pop those
everything
things out.
Was coming. He was smoking cigarettes, too. So they
of course,
were,
it was all, it was a whole life just hit you at once.
And then he was really mad at me, the driver. Was like, I'll never forget your face. I'll see your face in my dreams. And I was like, well, you're not the first. But anyway, and you won't be the last. But
and then that's the weirdest thing.
And they're like, you should go to the doctor. And I was like, I'm literally going to the doctor.
That's where I was
She's
headed.
Right there.
Yeah, she saw
so I walked
thing.
And I was like, hi, I was just hit by a car.
Pre-filled the paperwork.
But I was so bruised. Like, it was months and months of, like, yeah. Anyway.
Well.
Yeah. So there you go.
We're glad you're great.
Yay.
And we're glad you were here with
Yay,
us.
Yay, this was fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Yay. Will you one more time plug your social media?
Yeah,
all that
it's Deborah DiGiovanni at Twitter, and Instagram is Deborah DG, and my website's also Deborah DG. DeBRADG.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy, and all social media. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much,
Ryan.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.